Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. This is the book of Joshua, chapter 10. And there are 43 verses in this chapter. And this chapter is telling how the kings of the south were defeated by the Israelites. And really, not the Israelites. It was if they're defeated by the Israelites, it's because of the fact that the Israelites are keeping the commandments of the Lord, and the Lord is doing the fighting for them. And that's exactly the way it is today. The Old Testament, the Bible says, these things were done as testimonials to us as to what to do and what not to do, and how to be blessed of the Lord and how not to be blessed of the Lord. And so all the things that, all the blessings of the Lord are already ours. If we, there's a big if there, it's a little word with a big meaning, if we keep the Lord's commandments. And so God has provided salvation for us. He's provided healing for us. By my stripes you were healed. It's already there. His prosperity is ours, and victory is ours. And, you know, if people like to be defeated by the things of this world, by Satan, by your flesh, well, you know, that's up to you. It all depends on you, because we're free moral agents. And we can live our life whatever way we want to, or we can live our life according to the way the Lord has told us and has shown us in the scriptures that if we do His will, then it works. Now, the children of Israel failed when they there was sin in the camp. And so the people of the camp started getting killed. When they found out where the sin was and they got rid of it, then they started defeating the kings of the south, and because God will not fight. He will not give the victory to those that are not keeping His commandments. So if you want all the different blessings and the things that God has already provided for us, which is salvation, again, I'm saying it, I can't say it enough, it's already ours. He says that He's given every person a the portion of faith to where, you know, which is more than a grain of mustard seed. And He said, if we just use the faith that we have, even a grain of it, that whatsoever we ask, we're going to receive. We can say to yonder mountain, or yonder problem, or yonder sickness, or it's yonder disease, or yonder infirmities, you know, be cast into the sea, and it will be cast into the sea. Yonder poverty, we can talk to it. Just as Jesus talked to the tree, we can talk to all these different things, and instead of telling God, you know, of all our problems and all of our losses, we can talk to those losses and to those unvictorious situations and unto an unsaved state. We can talk to all of our sickness, diseases, infirmities, and tell them about the Lord. All right? God created the heavens and the earth, we tell our disease. God created me out of the dirt of the ground. Everything that we see was created by words. Words have the power to kill. Words have the power to make alive. Words have the power to make you sick. Words have the power to make you healed. Words have the power to make you victorious, prosperous. Or words have the power to make you unvictorious and unprosperous. One thing we know, that the Lord tells us to be active, actively doing the things that He tells us to do. We can have salvation by our words and by our deeds. We can have no salvation whatsoever, but be cursed and sent to hell if we don't witness and testify, if we don't prophesy over the dead bones in this world to raise them up. It's not us raising them up, but when we prophesy over them the word of God, they will rise up, many of them. And if they don't, well, then that's not our problem. I know one thing for sure. The Bible, the Old and New Testament, tells us that if we preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to every creature on earth, that we will be saved. And if we don't, we shall be damned. Amen?
Yes.
Okay, so this chapter is talking about defeating the kings of the south, how Israel did that. And I have to keep saying all the time that they did that because they kept the commandments of the Lord, And the Spirit of the Lord was alive and vital in them because they saw these signs and wonders that he had performed. And they were very sure that the Lord was able to do these things. And these are our examples in the Old Testament as to believe as they did so that God can move in our camp for us. And so that we can have victory, prosperity, that we can have healing, and also we can have our salvation and maintain it down through the years. So let's all go up to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint this service, anoint the words we heard in the Bible where God has instructed people to anoint rocks. And the people of Israel poured oil over rocks and anointed many different things. Amen? Amen. So it says it in the Bible. Now, Father, we ask that you open up the hearts, the ears, spiritual ears, and the heart of every hearer of this tape so that they'll receive that, you know, we must keep your commandments. You never saved us so that to not keep your commandments. You saved us to give us the grace or the power from heaven to have you in us, which gives us strength to keep all your commandments so that all the things that you provided for us supernaturally in heaven, can be ours here on earth. Now, the heavens are loaded full of gifts for us. Salvation, healing, victory and prosperity and the Holy Spirit and resurrection, all the different things that you've provided for us in the kingdom of heaven, for the power to be able to cast out demons, devils, for the power to lay hands on the sick and prophesy over them your words, that you provided healing for them, and that all they need to do is to appropriate by faith that which you've already provided for them, but to have the knowledge to know that it's there, and all they need to do is take it. If they have salvation, then it takes the same amount of faith to have healing. If they have received the salvation already, it takes the same amount of faith to have victory. But we must be very bold to have victory and courageous. And that means it involves keeping your commandments, Lord, and also prosperity. Now, we're not talking about prosperity, that if you send money to us that you'll prosper. This is not scriptural at all, but it's keeping all your commandments. Now, it's very important for people to tithe and give offerings unto the house of God, and some people resent that. And the reason they resent that, Father, as you well know, is because you stated where their treasure is where their heart, is. And so if their treasure is money, then they don't want to give it to you. But for their own sake, you said, give money to me or you're robbing me. And not only give money to you, but to give ourselves unto you, or we're robbing you of our lives, of the life that you want to live in us. And so it's obvious that people that just hang on to everything that they have, that their heart is with the money and not you. And so therefore you don't bless them at all, you don't give them victory, and they're not even saved. And when they want healing, they scream out to you, but they've robbed you. They've robbed you of their life, and they've robbed you, just like Ananias and Sapphira, of whatever they had, the substance that they have. And a lot of people get uptight about that, but I have to preach what your word says, that if their heart is in their bank account or in their money, then they have no reward from you whatsoever. Treasure up things in the kingdom of heaven where there isn't anything going to destroy it. Moth, rust, or any thief can come in and get it. But the Lord wants to know the reason he tells people to give tithes and offerings is to just see where their heart is. That's all. Because he says he gives a hundredfold back to whatever you give. Amen?
Amen.
Whatever we give a hundredfold back. But the people that don't believe that, then, Lord, they don't believe you. And so if they don't believe you, the Word of God, which is Christ, then they're not saved. They're damned. He that believeth is saved, and he that doubts is damned. And they can do whatever they want. It isn't going to hurt you or I, as it's hurting themselves. So, Lord, we pray also that people will study the Scriptures and not only read the lines, but read between the lines and see how these people prospered when they kept your commandments. They prospered because they had salvation, healing, and they had victory, and they had the gifts. They have everything. By doing everything that you say, and they have nothing if they break one commandment. Father, we ask that you imprint that on the tables of our spirit, our heart, in the name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Isn't that right, what I said?
Yes.
Isn't there plenty of Bible scriptures to back up what I said?
Yes.
Okay? Just because I have a chain around my neck doesn't mean I'm a cult leader. A cult leader is somebody that teaches you something that the Bible doesn't say. But how could anybody be a cult leader if they're telling you exactly what God says? Amen?
Amen.
And that you are very straightforward with God's Word, that you will not allow anyone to be in the church that doesn't want to serve the Lord. Now, you can, go and serve the devil. You may say, I'm not serving the devil. I'm serving the Lord my way. If you're serving him your way, then you're serving the devil yourself, okay? So we have to do it his way. You know, these people that sing that song, I did it my way, I feel sad for them because they're going to go into hell in the lake of fire God's way. So if you keep the commandments, you'll do things God's way. And if you don't, you'll do things God's way. No matter which way you go with God, you're going to do it his way, because he's the final judge over everybody. Amen?
Amen.
All right, chapter 10, verse 1.
The kings of the south defeated by Israel. King James Version, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them.
Yeah, but it's a real good thing that they recovered with Ai, because there was sin when they took Jericho. And they, at first, were unsuccessful. So they really knew, in order to recover, to have the blessing of the Lord, to have him in the camp, they wondered, what's gone wrong here? God said that he's given it to us, and that if we keep all of his commandments, and there's some sin in the camp here, we've got to find out what it is immediately so that we can keep getting blessed from the Lord. We don't want any more our people killed, or we don't want the people to glory over us. It'll give all the other heathen in this country tremendous they'll think that we are easily whipped. They will not believe any longer that God is in our camp. And so we've got to figure out what this is that's in the camp, so we can get rid of it, so that we can have success from here on out. So they did seek the Lord on it, and they did find out, and they got rid of the sin in the camp, and now they're victorious. Because, I want to be able to believe God enough to where I can bring the things that are supernatural in the heavens that are provided for us down into this world, so people can see the supernatural things of God in this world. And because everything is so natural that it's very boring. George Sanders, the movie actor, said life is a bore, and he put a gun to his head or took some pills and killed himself. It isn't boring, though, when you're in the Lord. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's always a good, tremendous action going as long as you believe the Lord. And it may seem frightful at times, but when the Lord comes out in his word and in the spirit, which is the word of spirit and life. And he says, I'm with you if you're keeping my commandments. You know, so be therefore be very courageous and be full of courage. And don't fear these people at all, because I'm with you. I'm fighting your battles. And so this is the beautiful thing about the scriptures, because it lays it out like that so that we can try, and we see that when we do what the Lord says, it builds up the ability in our spirits to trust God no matter what he tells us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so I feel courageous, very brave and full of courage to do what the Lord says. So it doesn't really matter to me what people think at all. It only matters to me what God thinks. And so they're making a, this is a big statement here, that they whipped all these different kings, and the Red Sea was opened, and the Jordan was opened, and God's going to fight for them, and it put fear in everyone's heart, except at Ai, and while there was sin in the camp, but they corrected that, and then God was back with them again. So, I mean, how stupid can you be to know these things and then not do them? You know, you really, there's Edgar Bergen, used to be a ventriloquist, and he had one of these dummies that he sat on his lap, and it was Mortimer Snurd. And he says, Mortimer, he says, how can you be so stupid? And the dummy answered back, well, it's not easy. It's not easy. It must not be easy to be that stupid, is to doubt God. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's easier to serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
To believe God. That's easy. So if it's not easy, then don't be stupid, because it's not easy. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, what else?
Verse 2, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Verse 3, wherefore Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Horham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying,
let's all get together to whip the Israelites, because they've done all these mighty things. God is with them, and if we all the world gets together against Israel, even though God's with them, we'll whip them. You believe that?
Yeah.
No, you'd have to be worse than, you know, like Mortimer Snurd. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead.
Verse 4, come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel.
Okay, go ahead.
Verse 5, therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it.
All right.
Verse 6, and the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us.
Right, and the Bible says the same thing will happen here in these last days, that every nation of the world will come up against Israel. And that's not just talking about Jerusalem or the land of Israel. It's talking about the new Jerusalem, the people of God, the New Testament people, the people that are Christians. And he says, you know, though they come up against us, there's nothing that they can do against us. Amen?
Amen.
That God will raise up a standard, that he'll destroy them. And in Israel, they spend months burying all the bones of the people that God himself kills. He's going to slaughter all those that rise up against Israel. Okay, then what?
Verse 7. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand.
Okay, so right there, that should give you plenty of confidence, right?
Right.
If God tells me, you know, here's all the people of the world coming against me, and he says, fear them not, because I have given them into your hand. What need is there to fear them? Amen?
Amen.
If God be with us, who could be against us? Amen?
Amen.
Right there is just plenty of, that's the power of positive thinking, is when you got God saying, they're dead meat. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
There shall not a man of them stand before thee.
Not one of them. Not out of all these five nations there, not one of those guys is going to stand up against you. They're dead meat. They're history. Wow. That's wonderful, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, then what?
Verse 9. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. Verse 10.
Yeah, I could stay up all night with that kind of encouragement. Amen?
Yeah.
And I have that kind of encouragement because I know it's the same thing. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you're 100% with him, he's 100% with you. Okay? He doesn't like people that follow him to the T to be losers. I mean, you're a winner. That's all you got to do is follow the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 10. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda.
Yeah, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. Amen?
Amen.
Or taking candy from a baby. Right?
Right.
Give me that sucker, kid. Right? Ah, God's on my side. That's what it was like, you know? Okay, then what?
Verse 11. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them, unto Azekah, and they died.
How could you fight against a God like that? Okay, so that's why it's real important to really just do everything the Lord says, because that's victory is yours. It's already provided for you, providing that you just, if you keep my commandments. All right? That's mm-hmm. all. Don't sin, because then you're going to wind up like Achan. Or worse, you'll be in hell, in the lake of fire, where he's at right now. Then what?
They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword.
So, God is the one that threw the hailstones down. Joshua didn't do that. Amen?
Amen.
And neither did Caleb. Nobody threw them down but the Lord. And he made sure they all hit their targets. Right?
Right,
right on top of their craniums, their pate. Okay, then what?
Verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon.
Oh. Wait a minute, say that again.
Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon.
Yeah, give me more time to nail these people, to destroy them. Don't let the sun go down. And then what?
And thou moon in the valley of Ajalon.
Yeah, and stay in the valley of Ajalon. But stay just where you're at right now until I finish, until I get this work done that you have commissioned me to do, Father. Okay, and the Lord stilled the sun and the moon. You know, a lot of people doubt that. He kept it there for several hours until the whole victory was there. They couldn't even get the satellite up to the moon, this rocket up to the moon, unless they figured the amount of time that it took for the moon and the sun to stay still for that amount of time. They figured that. One of the scientists remembered that out of the Bible and said, let's just for kicks, let's figure that in. They couldn't get to figure out how to get the rocket up to the moon. And when they figured that in, and then the sundial going back a certain percentage on Hezekiah to prove that he was healed, they could not get that up. But when they figured those two things in the Bible, the moon went right up, the rocket went right up to the moon. So right there proves that the Bible is absolutely 100% correct. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? And they had to read the Bible and believe it. in order to get that rocket up to the moon. Otherwise, no moon. They're not going to have any people, astronauts on the moon. And then what?
Verse 13, and the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day.
A whole day? What is a whole day? Is that 12 hours or 24 hours? Huh? It's 24 hours. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Amen?
Amen.
24 hours. So that's, they had to figure that 24-hour segment in there. Okay? Because the Bible says so. God's word, which is God, said so. That it actually happened. All right, then what?
Verse 14. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. Verse 15. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. Translation, verse 1 through 15. The kings of the south defeated by Israel. Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had captured and completely destroyed Ai and killed its king, just as he had destroyed the city of Jericho and killed its king. He also learned that the Gibeonites had made peace with Israel and were now their allies. Verse 2. He and his people became very afraid when they heard all this, because Gibeon was a large city, as large as the royal cities, and larger than Ai. And the Gibeonite men were mighty warriors. Verse 3. So King Adonizedek of Jerusalem sent messengers to several other kings, Hoham of Hebron, Piram of Jarmuth, Japhia of Lachish, and Debir of Eglon. Verse 4, quote, come and help me destroy Gibeon, unquote, he urged them, quote, for they have made peace with Joshua and the people of Israel, unquote. Verse 5, so these five Amorite kings combined their armies for a united attack. They moved all their troops into place and attacked Gibeon. Verse 6, the men of Gibeon quickly sent messengers to Joshua at Gilgal, quote, don't abandon your servants now, exclamation, they pleaded. Come quickly and save us, exclamation mark, for all the Amorite kings who live in the hill country have come out against us with their armies, unquote. Verse 7, so Joshua and the entire Israelite army left Gilgal and set out to rescue Gibeon. Verse 8, quote, do not be afraid of them, the Lord said to Joshua, for I will give you victory over them. Not a single one of them will be able to stand up to you, unquote. Verse 9, Joshua traveled all night from Gilgal and took the Amorite armies by surprise. Verse 10, the Lord threw them into a panic, and the Israelites slaughtered them in great numbers at Gibeon. Then the Israelites chased the enemy along the road to Bethhoron and attacked them at Azekah and Makedah, killing them along the way. Verse 11, as the Amorites retreated down the road from Bethhoron, the Lord destroyed them with a terrible hailstorm that continued until they reached Azekah. The hail killed more of the enemy than the Israelites killed with the sword. Verse 12, on the day the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites, Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. He said, quote, let the sun stand still over Gibeon, and the moon over the valley of Ajalon, unquote. Verse 13, so the sun and moon stood still until the Israelites had defeated their enemies. Is this event not recorded in the book of Jasher? The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and did not set as on a normal day. Verse 14, the Lord fought for Israel that day. Never before or since has there been a day like that one when the Lord answered such a request from a human being. Verse 15, then Joshua and the Israelite army returned to their camp at Gilgal. King James Version, verse 16. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makedah. Verse 17. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makedah. Verse 18.
That's what the enemy has to do with us. They have to hide. It doesn't show the people of the Lord hiding. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So who's afraid of who? The Bible plainly states that the enemy of God's people are afraid of them. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
Verse 18. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. Verse 19. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their city, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. Verse 20. And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. Verse 21.
Well, isn't there a chance for repentance? No, God knows their heart. He knows they're not going to repent. He knows that they're trying to kill his people. Amen?
Yeah.
And so should he have mercy on them? No. I mean, he doesn't have mercy on them. Of course, this is Old Testament, and now the Lord says, with the Spirit of God in us, we are able to do all things that way. And that vengeance is his, and so we don't use carnal weapons any longer. That we use the spiritual weapon, the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And if people don't listen, then he kills them. All right, then what?
Verse 21. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makedah in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Verse 22. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave, and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. Verse 23. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. Verse 24. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. Verse 25. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. Translation, verse 16-25. The five southern kings, how Joshua killed them. Verse 16. During the battle, the five kings escaped and hid in a cave at Makedah. Verse 17. When Joshua heard that they had been found, he issued this command. Verse 18. Quote, cover the opening of the cave with large rocks, and place guards at the entrance to keep the kings inside. Verse 19. The rest of you continue chasing the enemy, and cut them down from the rear. Don't let them go back to their cities, for the Lord your God has given you victory over them. Unquote. Verse 20. So Joshua and the Israelite army continued the slaughter and wiped out the five armies, except for a tiny remnant that managed to reach their fortified city. Verse 21. Then the Israelites returned safely to their camp at Makedah. After that, no one dared to speak a word against Israel. Verse 22. Then Joshua said, quote, remove the rocks covering the opening of the cave, and bring the five kings to me. Unquote. Verse 23. So they brought the five kings out of the cave, the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon. Verse 24. Joshua told the captains of the army, quote, come and put your feet on the king's necks, unquote.
Right, sir. That's exactly what we do with Satan. Satan has no power at all. The only power that Satan has is to deceive. He's a liar, and he can steal. He's a thief and a liar. And so if you want to believe his deceptions, that the things of this world are something, or being concerned about your own flesh, or your own family, even putting your own family above God, well, then you can believe that if you want. But they realize one thing, that the Bible says that that's the devil. All right? There's no one above God. All right? And he says, anyone that puts mother, father, sister, brother, son, daughter, anyone above me is not worthy of me. And so it's obvious that he's saying you're not going to have him, that you're not worthy to have him. Amen?
Amen.
So you got to just be like gung-ho God if you want to get everything that he's provided for us, if you want to be able to appropriate, to have, to pull down from heaven all the things from the supernatural to the natural world, all the things that the Lord has provided for us. Amen? That's just quite simple. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
And they did as they were told. Verse 25. Don't ever be afraid or discouraged, Joshua told his men.
Yeah, if you got your feet on you, these guys' necks, well, you say, Mark, just kidding, I'm putting my foot on his neck. How dare I do such a thing as this? My foot is quivering. No, you can't quiver. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
You're commanded to do it, so just do it. Amen? Oh, my gosh, they think you're so bold and brash. Well, the Lord said to do it, do it. Don't give any place to the devil. Amen?
Amen.
If he squawks and says, hey, I'm a king, get your foot off my neck. Say, no, and put it on all the harder. Resist him all the more. Amen?
Amen.
All right, because that's all he is the devil, and he has no power but to lie, to deceive. You notice that when he was deceiving Eve, he just said, has God said, let me reason together with you? And she, well, he did say, you know, that if we ate or touched the thing from the tree of life here, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that we would die. He says, you're not going to die. That's so much as he's saying that God is a liar. And he's telling people today, too, the same thing. He's telling people, well, if you, he doesn't care if you commit fornication. The school system says it's all right. And he doesn't care if you're a lesbian or a homosexual. Everybody's doing it, you know. It's not enough. God says, all the trees of the garden, there's plenty of good fruit here to eat. The only thing is, there's one tree that you can't eat from, okay? There's got to be some kind of rules or regulations. I want to see if you're going to be obedient to me. Okay, well, you can't sin. Now that they took from that tree, now we know good and evil, and there's so many things that are evil that we know that we can't do. And so it's going to take more willpower to not do them. But, you know, we see what the bottom line is, what's going to happen to us if we don't do what he says. And we can see what will happen to us if we do what he says. Now, we're not just talking about being blessed here in this world. We're talking about eternal immortality blessings, things that are going to go on and on forever. And so, you know, you just have to choose who you're going to believe, the things of this world, the people of this world, your own flesh, you know. I mean, I know my flesh said the Lord knows I'm in the flesh, and that it's really rough to resist all these things here on earth, and so he'll be kind to me. Don't ever believe that, okay, because you learn that lesson right off in the book of Genesis, where all they did was took a bite from a piece of fruit, and that condemned the entire human race. Okay, God is a good God, but he's also very strict. Amen?
Amen?
So don't believe anything that you can get by with something that's far worse than taking a bite of any kind of disobedience to the Lord. You have to be 100% obedient to him, because he has not changed. I'll tell you that. He's given us a second chance to do what he says, and he tells us in the Old Testament and in the New. He amplifies it, what we're supposed to do. And Jesus said, I didn't come to break the law. I didn't come to destroy it. He said, and you have to tell people the same thing. Preach the gospel, this truth to them, that I didn't come to destroy the law. But the law has no power over us, though, if we keep his commandments. But if we break his commandments, then the law has the power over us and condemns us to hell. The law cannot save your soul. All it does is condemns. And so we were condemned, and we come to the Lord and got our sins all removed by the blood of Jesus. And then we made a covenant with him that we'll deny ourselves, deny the world, deny the flesh, take up the cross and sin no more, lest the worst thing happens to us, and that we'll follow the Lord's example, that the law, to keep the law, by the Holy Spirit living in us, we're more than able to do that. And he said, apart from me, you can't do that. You can't do anything like that. So as long as we have the first and most important thing, which is salvation, and by the Spirit of God, by being cleansed in the blood of Jesus, and by the Spirit of the Lord living in us, we also have the power to appropriate the other things that the Lord has provided for us in heaven, which is healing and all the other things, such as prosperity and victory, and the Holy Spirit, more and more of the Spirit that we receive every day, that we rehearse these things in our mind from the Word of God. Because the Bible says that the reproof of the word of the Lord is the way of life. In other words, that's like driving the car on the highway is the way to go to whatever city you're going to. If you go through the barbed wire fences and through the woods, you're liable to wreck your car. Amen?
Amen.
And it's for sure you're going to wreck yourself if you don't stay on that straight and narrow. This is the way, is the reproof of the word of the Lord to stay on the highway to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
The highway to heaven is to reprove yourself of the word of the Lord every day, to meditate on it, and to really obey what the Bible tells you to do, what God's word, which is God, tells you to do, so that you can have all the blessings and have all the supernatural things in your life, in this world. The heavenly things will be in this world to you, and you'll be sitting in heavenly places with the Lord. Okay? That should be clear. You know, it's crystal. Amen?
Amen?
All right, then what? Because that's what the Bible says. All right? Then what?
Quote, be strong and courageous, for the Lord is going to do this to all of your enemies. Unquote.
Isn't that something? All of our enemies? Is cancer our enemy?
Yes.
Leukemia?
Yes.
Okay, polio?
Yes.
AIDS?
Yes.
So just stay away from fornicating and adultery. You won't catch AIDS. You don't have to worry about AIDS. That's safe sex, man. Just don't do it. Amen?
No.
Safe sex. God intended sex to be safe from the very beginning. Amen?
Yeah.
The world. Stay away from all the drugs and all the corruption in this world, and you'll be safe. All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 26. And afterward Joshua smote them, and slew them, and hanged them on 5 trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. Verse 27. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun, that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees, and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. Verse 28. And that day Joshua took Makeda and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof he utterly destroyed, them and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain. And he did to the king of Makeda as he did unto the king of Jericho.
Well, yeah, they're worthy to do that. You know, like if I see people that are being blessed by the Lord, I'm going to want to make friends with those people. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not going to start coming against them, because I know I have enough sense to know that I can't win against God. And anybody that's stupid that thinks that you can just go ahead and do what you want to do and that you're going to be successful and you're going to have the salvation and you're going to be victorious and prosperous and that you're going to be able to be healed, you're insane, okay, if you think that you can have these things without complying with the Lord God's rules and regulations. All these things belong to us if we keep rules and regulations. Amen?
Amen?
And live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. All right, then what?
Verse 29. Then Joshua passed from Makeda and all Israel with him unto Libnah and fought against Libnah. Verse 30. And the Lord delivered it also and the king thereof into the hand of Israel. And he smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain in it, but did unto the king thereof as he did unto the king of Jericho.
And that's what we're supposed to do when we're prophesying the word of God. That's the weapon. That we're not to leave any person in the world that hasn't hurt, that isn't getting smitten by the word of God. Because that's what destroys the devil. All right? And that's our enemy, is the devil. And the devil is encamped very strongly into people. So we have to be very bold and courageous and say, and preach the gospel to them, to everybody, to every soul, to every creature. Why? Because the Lord says, preach this to every nation, to every soul, every person on the face of this earth. Because, and so why do we have to do that? Because he commanded us to, and doing so is being obedient to the Lord. You may think that cooking or sewing or all kinds of things like or working on mechanics or doing printing, working on printing presses, whatever job you do, working in an office or doing something on a computer, that all these things are important and are going to please God. No, winning souls and prophesying to every creature on the face of this earth, everybody, is what really pleases the Lord, because it kills, the word of God kills and mortifies the devil living in not only ourselves, but it'll mortify our flesh that the devil likes to get hold of, so that we don't do the things that the devil wants us to do. And it'll also mortify the people that we preach it to. And that's the Lord doesn't want you to leave one person without having them have heard, without preaching the gospel to them. They have to hear the word of God in order for them to be able to be saved. How can they be saved if they don't hear the gospel? Amen?
Yeah.
And so preachers have to go out, and that's what the Lord wants. And that's what it means to slay all the Philistines, to slay all the people in Canaan, the Pezerites, the Amorites, all these ites, everybody in the world. And if they get upset, well, then they start forming armies against us, then God says, be very bold and courageous. You preach the gospel to them, and they will not harm a hair on your head. Okay, I guarantee it, the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 31. And Joshua passed from Libnah and all Israel with him unto Lachish, and encamped against it and fought against it. Verse 32. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, which took it on the second day, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, according to all that he had done to Libnah. Verse 33. Then Horam, king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua smote him and his people until he had left him none remaining.
So it doesn't make any difference who comes up to help fight against the people of the Lord. You can't win. Okay, we have these as our examples. Amen?
Amen.
They couldn't win. Then what?
Verse 34. And from Lachish Joshua passed unto Eglon, and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it and fought against it. Verse 35. And they took it on that day, and smote it with the edge of the sword. And all the souls that were therein he utterly destroyed that day, according to all that he had done to Lachish. Translation, verse 26-35. Then Joshua killed each of the five kings, and hung them on five trees until evening. Verse 27. As the sun was going down, Joshua gave instructions for the bodies of the kings to be taken down from the trees and thrown into the cave where they had been hiding. Then they covered the opening of the cave with a large pile of stone.
Thrown into the cave, but that's mama's little bouncing baby boy. You don't throw him into the cave. Look, if they're against God, God doesn't care if you're mama's little bouncing baby boy, okay? Once she was fair and once she was sweet looking and everything, it had a little rattle. But you are attacking now the God of heaven and earth, children. Amen?
Amen.
And that you don't do, okay? Mama's bouncing baby boys all got thrown into the cave. Amen?
Amen.
Thrown in like pieces of wood. All right, then what?
They covered the opening of the cave with a large pile of stones, which remain to this very day. How the southern cities were destroyed by Israel. Verse 28. That same day Joshua completely destroyed the city of Makeda, killing everyone in it, including the king. Not one person in the city was left alive. He killed the king of Makeda as he had killed the king of Jericho. Verse 29. Then Joshua and the Israelites went to Libna and attacked it. Verse 30. There too the Lord gave them the city and its king. They slaughtered everyone in the city and left no survivors.
So when we preach the gospel, that's what we're doing. Is we're slaughtering peoples away. In other words, all it is their desire to do things their own way. Because when they hear the reasoning of the Lord and the blessings of the Lord and how profitable it is to serve the Lord and to go to heaven instead of hell, they should receive that. And the ones that don't should be afraid. They don't want to hear from you. They don't want to see you anymore. They want to run from you. They want to flee from you. And they can't fight against it, because there'll be people, when you're preaching to government agents, even a lot of the government agency people that are government agents will believe what you're saying, and the king or the president of the United States or whatever will try to get them to come against you, but they'll say, I won't do it. Okay, so that, you've defeated it. Amen?
Amen.
You defeated their purpose. And we found that out down through the past years. Amen?
Amen.
And you can't, it won't do you any good to soft pedal it or just be nice to them, because you can't be, a lot of people think it's being nice when you don't preach the naked truth, the naked, harsh truth of the Word of God to them. But that's the only thing that's going to save their soul. Amen?
Amen.
You can't, honey it down, okay, or smooth it down for them, tell smooth things. That's where people haven't got a gut on their body, all right? They haven't got any chutzpah. You've got no salt, no savor in them. It must be preached as it is. We can't be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. And part of a gospel is not the gospel. Amen? It has to be the whole gospel, the whole truth. And when you preach the whole truth, people will either despise you or they'll love you. And if they despise you, what good is it that these kings despise the people of the Lord? They put their feet on their necks and they threw mama's little bouncing baby boys inside the cave. Right?
Right.
Okay, then what?
Then Joshua killed the king of Libna just as he had killed the king.
Mama used to make chicken noodle soup for him, too, and butter their bread and stuff. No, if you're against God, okay, no sloppy sentimentality. Preach the gospel to them, amen?
Amen.
You're not cutting their heads off or anything. You're just coming against the devil that's in them and the false things that they've heard down through the years and the soft soaping that they've heard from these people that are afraid, these ministers that are afraid to preach it as it is. Don't be like that, because there's no blessing to preach part of the gospel or 99% of it. You must preach it all. You can't, if you're ashamed of the Lord here, because the Lord is the Word of God, then He'll be ashamed of you before God and the holy angel, before the Father. Amen?
Amen.
All right, go ahead.
Then Joshua killed the king of Libna just as he had killed the king of Jericho. Verse 31.
Yeah, notice that no one's killing him. No one's killing Joshua, right?
Right.
He's doing all the killing. And you, as a preacher, will do the killing of the devil that's living in people. But you've got to be bold and courageous to do that. If you're afraid that they're going to smite you on the face, well, don't worry about it. You'll have your foot on their necks, okay, before it's over with. Then what else?
From Libna, Joshua and the Israelites went to Lachish and attacked it. Verse 32, and the Lord gave it to them on the second day. Here, too, the entire population was slaughtered, just as at Libna. Verse 33, when he attacked Lachish, King Horam of Gezer had arrived with his army to help defend the city. But Joshua's men killed him and destroyed his entire army.
You see, it was the entire army. Joshua did that. Did they smite Joshua? No. The devil's just sad, you know, but he didn't do it. He couldn't, because God was there. Amen?
Amen.
If God be with us, who could be against us? We are more than conquerors in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, more.
Verse 34. Then Joshua and the Israelite army went to Eglon and attacked it. Verse 35. They captured it in one day, and at Lachish they completely destroyed everyone in the city.
In one day? That's something. You could go into a witnessing crew could go into a city and smite it in one day, or you could go in there and sit down in restaurants or go shopping, like I've heard some of these witnessing crews do. They went in to get a bathing suit. They saw a sale or something. Kathy Bulpa took a bunch of witnessers, young baby Christians, to a junk store to shop in there. This is years ago, and I'll never forget it. And the baby Christians were extremely angry because they wanted to go out and win souls. And she told them, oh, you're so naive. And it just goes to show that there's really not that much fiber in Kathy and several other people that have taken people to, you know, to shop rather than get out on the streets or to sit in restaurants for an hour at a stretch instead of being out on the streets. Susie and I used to get out there for hours, and every time I go witnessing, I'm out there for hours, and we'll grab a hamburger or something real fast and slam it down in about 10 or 15 minutes and take off and get back on the streets again. It's very exciting on the streets. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 36. And Joshua went up from Eglon, and all Israel with him, unto Hebron, and they fought against it. Verse 37. And they took it and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and all the souls that were therein.
Joshua did that. God was doing that for them. Amen?
Amen.
Then what? Because the Lord is there keeping the commandments. Then what?
He left none remaining, according to all that he had done to Eglon, but destroyed it utterly, and all the souls that were therein.
Utterly. That's what we can do with those tracts and witnessing and testifying on the street. We can smite whole cities. We have letters from people that are distributing our literature in Africa and India and different other towns. Our whole cities are being saved. They're getting saved through the literature. Amen?
Amen.
And so it's just to me, every time I hear that, it reminds me of like Joshua going into these cities. The book of Joshua is one victory after the other victory after the other victory after the other. It's just one of the most victorious books there is in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Probably the most victorious one. It just tells of one victory after the other victory, and it plainly states that it's because they're serving the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You can have whatever you want. Okay? Just serve the Lord. The Bible says so, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 38, And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, to Debir, and fought against it. Verse 39, And he took it, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and they smote them with the edge of the sword.
My God, they're taking cities, whole cities, in a day, amen?
Amen.
Wiping them out, and they're just going to come back and dwell in these cities. Houses that they builded not. Wells that they digged not. They didn't dig them. Trees that they planted not, with the fruit trees and lumber and everything on there that they didn't plant. God sent them in there to take the place over. Why? Because the people were sinning. And God's going to, He wants us to come down. He called us. His Spirit came down into this world, into us, to purge the earth of all the sin, to smite all the sinners with the word of God. And then if they don't repent, He wants them to have a chance to get saved. And you can't do that by buttering them up or trying to get political with them or trying to be friendly with the unsaved people. You must give them the true, rich, powerful, unabridged, unedited word of God. Amen?
Amen.
That's the only way that you'll be able to win souls and to smite the cities. All right, then what else? And God didn't care if they didn't believe. He knew they didn't believe. But who got the cities? The Israelites, amen?
Amen.
So, you know, if they don't believe, so what? Okay, that's their problem. God's still going to give you everything. All right, then what?
They smote them with the edge of the sword and utterly destroyed all the souls that were therein. Mm-hmm. He left none remaining, as he had done to Hebron, so he did to Debir, and to the king thereof, as he had done also to Libnah and to her king. Verse 40, So Joshua smote all the country of the hills, and of the south, and of the vale, and of the spring, and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded.
Okay, so victory after victory, victory after victory, one victory after victory, in the hills and the streams, and by the seashore, in every place, victory after one victory after the other. Amen?
Amen.
And God commanded them to do it, and so they did it. And God commands us to, all he commands us to do is preach the gospel. And are you going to be able to say, we did it? Or are you going to say, we didn't do it? Because if you don't do it, they'll destroy us, the Lord said. Amen?
Amen.
Only the word of God is powerful enough to put them down, to raise those dead souls up to have life. And we're not hurting them. The gospel will never hurt anybody. Okay? People say, well, if you get too much gospel, you're going to go crazy. No, I was crazy before I got the gospel, okay? The more gospel you get, the more sane you are, all right? And the more peace you have. And that's what we want to do. Is the Lord wants us to convert the world, to bring heaven down on earth. Heaven came down, and glory filled the world. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
Verse 41, And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea, even unto Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even unto Gibeon.
And Gaza, that's the land of the Philistines. Amen?
Amen.
Well, he really went in there and got them. Then what?
Verse 42, And all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel.
See, God will fight for you if you just go out there and get the gospel out. Amen?
Amen.
Because that's the sword that the Lord wants us to use now. He doesn't want us to go and kill people. He just wants to kill the devil and the people with the word of God, because the word of God has the power to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Don't you realize every day that you hear the gospel, you may be down, you know, in the dumps before you hear it, and then when you hear it, it brings life into you again. Amen?
Amen.
So that's why we have to continue preaching it. We can't ever retire. Amen?
Amen.
Until the Lord retires us. Amen?
Amen.
Until we go up into the kingdom of heaven. All right, then what?
Verse 43. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. Translation, verse 36 through 43. After leaving Eglon, they attacked Hebron, verse 37, capturing it and all of its surrounding towns. And just as they had done at Eglon, they completely destroyed the entire population. Not one person was left alive. Verse 38. Then they turned back and attacked Debir. Verse 39, they captured the city, its king, and all of its surrounding villages, and they killed everyone in it, leaving no survivors.
I remember one time when we went into this woman's place. Susie was going to get some makeup, and the Lord says, this woman is a witch, told me in the spirit. And so I thought, well, I know that the word of God can kill, you know, the spirit of the... And so I said, did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again real soon? And she says, what made you say that? How come you said that? I said, well, because, you know, I didn't know if you knew that or not. Do you? Do you know that he's coming back to earth again? And that he's going to, you know, he wants you to be saved so that you don't have to be eternally punished? Well, she just, her whole countenance changed and everything. The Lord says to every creature, I mean, that might have, as Susie says, well, you know, she didn't say anything to me about doing that. It ruined her makeup contact. But the point is, it's like the Lord says for me to preach to every creature. And he told me to, because nobody ever witnessed to this witch before. Amen?
Amen.
I said, well, he's coming back to earth again. He told me, and that's, he told me to tell everybody, and so that's why I told you. But I don't understand why you told me, because he said to preach to every creature. That's why. Is that okay with you? And she says, she just started messing with the cosmetics and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, if you think a person, well, I don't want to witness to this person. Don't be discriminating. The sword of the Lord says to everyone. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Don't try to figure out with your temporal mind what the Lord commands you to do. Just do it. Amen?
Amen.
Well, we have to be discreet. you'll just screech yourself right into hell. Amen?
Amen.
You'll become so wise as a serpent that you'll become the serpent. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
They completely destroyed Debir just as they had destroyed Libna and Hebron. Verse 40. So Joshua conquered the whole region, their kings and people of the hill country, the Negev, the western foothills, and the mountain slopes. He completely destroyed everyone in the land, leaving no survivors, just as the Lord, the God of Israel, had commanded. Verse 41.
And that's the trouble today. These people, they have songs, I'm a survivor. You don't want them to be a survivor, you know. They're a survivor that they're satanic, you know. They're satanic survivors, and the reason for it is nobody's preaching the naked, harsh truth of the Word of God. What's that guy that plays the saxophone? Yeah, David Sanborn. He's got his own, I'm a survivor. You're not a survivor, okay? If you're surviving in the cesspool of this world, you just think you are. You know, you're thinking the wrong way. You've got to be saved, David Sanborn, okay? You've got to receive the gospel. And everybody else out there, you're not survivors. And these Jewish people that say, never again, we're survivors, you know? Well, you're not going to survive all this mess here on earth until you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, amen?
Amen?
As your personal Savior, and until you get busy learning the gospel so you can go out and preach it and teach it. Okay, let's go. What else?
Joshua slaughtered them from Kadesh Barnea to Gaza and from Goshen to Gibeon. Verse 42. In a single campaign, Joshua conquered all these kings and their land, for the Lord, the God of Israel, was fighting for his people. Verse 43. Then Joshua and the Israelite army returned to their camp at Gilgal.
Okay, so that's Joshua chapter 10, and that was the 43rd verse, and now we've got some commentary.
10 verse 1 through 2. With the defeat of Jericho and Ai, and the surrender of Gibeon and the confederated cities, chapter 9 verse 17, the Israelites were driving a wedge between north and south. Little by little, they were possessing the land. Exodus chapter 23, verse 30. 10, verse 3 through 5.
And you notice it doesn't say that there was any losses of the Israelites. Amen?
Amen.
And it was a big deal when 36 of them got killed. You know, when over there at Ai, when Achan had sinned. But not anymore. Amen?
Amen.
That's miraculous. Amen?
Amen.
So you're not going to get killed if you're preaching the gospel in the Spirit. Okay? Don't worry about that. You're worried about the wrong thing. Okay, then what else?
10 verse 3 through 5. Gibeon had surrendered to Joshua instead of fighting them. Their resignation enraged the king of Jerusalem. Because of this, he formed a confederacy with four of the neighboring kings to attack Gibeon. This is Canaan's first serious attempt at resistance. 10 verse 10 through 11. The four verbs used in verse 10 assumed Yahweh as the subject, the one who brings victory decisively and supernaturally. Beth Horon was a town 4 miles northwest of Gibeon.
Decisively and supernaturally. It was a decision that God made. It's yours. I'm putting all these people in your hands. And he did. Amen?
Amen.
That's why Joshua had so much courage and boldness, because of what God told him. And so God is telling us the same thing in the Scriptures. And we're to value his Scriptures as much as if he were talking to us in the Spirit on a daily basis. The Scriptures are supposed to, the Word of God is supposed to talk to us and encourage us to do the same things. And if we don't believe that way, well then, what's the point of reading the Bible? Amen?
Amen.
We have to receive it and do it. All right? Okay, then what?
Beth Horon was a town 4 miles northwest of Gibeon, on the road leading to Azekah and onto the post. It was a mountainous country and consisted of two sites, one 800 feet higher than the other. Desert was the lower site. 10, verse 12 through 14. Joshua and his warriors stand in the gap, prayer strengthened by God's assurance that they would have victory.
Yes, assurance. And God assures us that we'll have victory, that we have it already. He's already provided victory. That's one of the major things that he's provided for us. Amen. Providing we keep his commandments. Amen.
Amen.
He's already provided it. It's a done deal. Just keep his commandments. Do you think he's going to let his sons and daughters be slaughtered? The reason a lot of people, even his disciples, were slaughtered was because of a lack of knowledge. Amen.
Amen.
My people perish for a lack of what?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. Know the Lord. Know the Word of God. To just be bold and courageous and walk in the Spirit. And not one hair on your head. Well, but the Bible says that there's going to be a lot of Christians killed and everything. That's right. But they lack knowledge. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe they just didn't read the Word enough to know what to do or stay close enough to the Spirit to know how to escape. So don't be one of those. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what? So this, it's a critical thing. It's very important to have the knowledge so that you don't be destroyed. Like the Lord says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And what is knowledge but to learn the Bible, the Word of God, and to know when to do something and when not to, walk in the Spirit, and to know how to appropriate that which God already has provided for you. If he's provided victory for you, then you can't be defeated, because we have victory, amen?
Amen.
And prosperity, because it's already provided for us. Salvation, we have. Okay, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. And by his stripes we were healed. So we've got it all. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
But knowing they had to fight to possess the promise that God had made to them, the warriors that Joshua selected responded to Gideon's plea for help.
And we have to fight the devil that comes to us. Our five senses are saying we're sick. We don't have the victory. We're poor. We're broke. We don't have healing, all these different things, or salvation. That's who's coming against you, is the devil, and you have to fight that. Paul said, I fought that. I fought a good fight. Amen?
Amen.
I wouldn't receive that. I received only what the Lord said. I have salvation. I have healing. I have victory, and I have prosperity. I've learned I can do all things in Christ. I've learned to not have as much as I would like, and sometimes I had a lot, and I've learned how to abide that way. But there's no need for us to do that. The Lord, I think that Paul made several mistakes while he was saved. Amen?
Amen.
He circumcised one of the brethren. Wasn't it Timothy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then he started preaching against it because he knew he'd made a mistake. He says, I don't go back, and there's nothing I can do about the wrong things that I did. But what I do is I forget those things that I did that were wrong, and I go on pressing on to the mark. Amen? Because I know I made a mistake. I admit it, and I'm not going to do it anymore. It was the sin of ignorance. Amen?
Amen.
Because I was zealous to do the things of the Lord, and I found out that that's not of the Lord. Okay? And so he said, sometimes I'm broke. Well, something's wrong there. Amen?
Amen.
Something's wrong. There's trouble in paradise. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Their struggle shows the classic syndrome of the spiritual life. It wasn't long, no sooner had Joshua and Israel conquered Jericho and Ai, than these five Amorite kings attacked Gibeon to punish it and to block Israel's advance. This was done in a similar way Satan forges weapons to war upon those who are moving in conquest for Christ. The battle was long and fierce. Fearful that the sun would set before the enemy was annihilated, Joshua's prayer of faith touched God's own omnipotence. The sun and moon, which was worshipped by the Amorites, stood still at the command of Joshua.
Yeah, and they worshipped the sun and the moon, and the sun and the moon became their enemy because it kept lighting up so they could get killed. Amen?
Amen.
So they should worship God, and then they wouldn't have to. Think Joshua wouldn't have had to cry out to God to have the sun and moon stand still, and then that way they wouldn't have been slaughtered. Maybe some of them could have slithered into the hills that night. All right, then what?
This not only allowed Israel success in battle and their victory, but demonstrated the ineffectiveness of the demon-possessed gods, which was embraced and worshipped by the opponents of Israel. Joshua and his warriors stood in the gap, contending for God's eternal purposes and teachings. The triumph of such faith and tenacity may realize in our spiritual warfare! Exclamation mark. Exodus chapter 32, verse 11 through 14, 30, 34, Isaiah 36, verse 1, and 37, verse 38. 10, verse 12 through 13. This great miracle is really the result of God's great power and his sovereign power in response to Joshua's authority in prayer. He speaks directly.
What miracle is it talking about? Is the sun standing still for 24 hours and the moon. Amen?
Amen.
That's a miracle, okay? And when somebody has no eyeballs at all and God lets them see, that isn't a healing. That's a miracle. Amen?
Amen.
There's a lot of difference between a miracle and a healing. A healing is a miracle, all right, but the bigger miracle is if they don't even have any eyes and they can see right in their sockets. All right? Or that God reproduces eyeballs inside the sockets. And you think he's incapable of that? Oh, don't. Have faith, only believe. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
He speaks directly to the sun and moon. They obey, obviously, at God's command. And
yes, he speaks directly to the sun and moon. That's what you're supposed to do with your sickness and diseases. Don't tell God about your sickness and diseases. Talk to your sickness and diseases about God. Amen?
Amen.
Tell them about God. God created the heavens and the earth, and he healed me. By his stripes I am healed. Amen? I was healed. So depart. Did I mention on the tapes the other day where this woman had a big tumor in her stomach? It was sticking out like crazy. And she started talking to it that it should depart from her. And it slipped right through her dress and on the floor. This huge tumor is about 4 or 5 pounds heavy. Amen? I got it, fall on the floor. Okay? And it wasn't there anymore, and the doctors pronounced that she was healed. That's something, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's something also that the sun and the moon stayed still for a whole day. Amen?
Yeah.
For 24 more hours. That's something, isn't it? And that not one person was killed. Those are all miracles. And that the Red Sea opened up. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Give you faith, and people are healed to this very day of cancer and all sorts of people getting saved. All right, keep going.
They obey, obviously, at God's command, and the delayed sunset made it possible for Israel to have executed judgment upon their enemies. If a person eliminates the supernatural from the account, that person is left to speculate and human reason. The book of Jasher was an ancient and classical book.
Right, the Lord doesn't want us to rationalize with human reasoning, but when God, you hear something from the Word of God, well, I wonder if that's true, and you start tossing it around in your little peanut brain, okay? And your reasoning is going to figure that out. You can't figure out miracles from God when he spoke the whole universe into being. Everything, and you know, the earth is hanging there in the air, and the moon and the sun and all these different planets and the stars. How are you going to reason with that? That's not reasonable. Well, how are you going to reason in your little peanut brain how that the Lord opened up the Red Sea? Everybody walked through on dry ground. You can't reason with human reasoning when we're talking about the supernatural, because it's not natural. So your natural mind can't fathom it. You can kick it around all day long in your mind, and pretty soon you're going to start doubting. But with God, you just have to receive what he says in order for it to be, there to be supernatural events in your life. Just receive it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
The book of Jasher was an ancient and classical book filled with the word of the Lord. It is about Israel's heroes and exploits. It is also mentioned in 2 Samuel 1, verse 18. 10, verse 16 through 27. These verses detail to the general battle. Description of verses 10 and 11 represent Christ's victory over the powers of darkness. Israel now had control at the strategic central region. 10, verse 24. Put their feet on their necks was an ancient custom for victorious kings who put their feet on the necks of the conquered enemy. This action exemplifies God's purpose. He promised also to, quote, make your enemies your footstool, unquote, Psalm 110, verse 1. 10, verse 28 through 43. Joshua's southern campaign was very fast, swift, and very victorious. Seven more cities were conquered, but the land was not occupied completely by Israel. All the cities were eventually repopulated, and later battles were necessary to subdue them again. Judges chapter 1.
That's because of their sins, too. Israel started sinning again seven times in a row. The Lord sent deliverers, judges. Okay, then what?
10 verse 1 through 11. The troubles associated with the undesirable treaty with Gibeon were actually compounded. Israel now had to fight on behalf of the Gibeonites. Israel accepted its obligation, and God promised Israel that they would have victory over all the five kings. Although Joshua achieved victory and success, his true victory and success came from the Lord by doing what the Lord said. God killed more of the enemy with hailstones than the entire Israeli army did with their weapons of war. If we look over the things that we've done before, the things that we may consider to be victorious accomplishments, we have to remember that we may have worked too hard. Maybe it wasn't the Lord that gave us the victory. God always shows us in his word that he can do a lot more than we could have ever done alone. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, apart from him, we can do nothing. Only a fool would believe that all we have comes from our own effort and ability. We must acknowledge God's hand is the one that gives us all the victories and all of our accomplishments. That comes from our holding onto the Lord's hand firmly, his word firmly, in the face of future challenges.
Holding on to the Lord's hand simply means walking in his spirit. Okay, then what? Holding on to the word of God. Okay, then what?
10 verse 12 through 15. The faith of Joshua was rewarded by God's action. Joshua prayed that God would supernaturally provide additional daylight hours so that he could win the battle and complete the battle, victory over the Amorite nation. God responded favorably to Joshua's prayer by asking the sun and the moon to keep their respective positions in the sky until the Lord himself claimed victory for Israel. For many centuries, Israelites have tried to explain away all these miraculous examples of God's divine intervention in the lives of his people. Human nature always tries to find an explanation outside of what God's word says, outside of God's power. And human nature always explains away the times when God gave his miracles, when God intervenes in our lives. God doesn't want us to be foolish. He doesn't want us to be ignorant to what's happening. If we're keeping the commandments of the Lord, he'll move for us and we must be careful that we don't allow anything that we might think we have as intellect to rob us of our faith in God. 10 verse 40. Hebrew word is Shephelah, S-H-E-P-H-E-L-A-H.
Praise the Lord, that was chapter 10, Joshua, 43 verses with commentary. So, remember, we have the victory. We have salvation. We have healing. It's a done deal. We have the victory, providing that we keep the commandments of the Lord and we have prosperity. And if you'll study to have the knowledge of these things, then you'll never doubt them and you'll never be broke. Your children will never be begging bread. And that's just the way it is. You can have a hard head and stinky feet if you want to, but the Lord loves those who have a broken spirit and a contrite heart, somebody that really believes everything he says, and he wants to exalt you, and he exalts those that do what he says, as you can see that he did here with Joshua and the children of Israel. So meditate day and night on the word of God, because our whole duty is to just fear the Lord and keep his commandments. There's nothing else really for us to do in this world. That's what we were born for. That's the purpose of the Lord, is for us to let him live out his life in and through us, so that we can bring heaven down into this earth, and the things that are happening in heaven will be happening here on earth. That's the Lord's prayer, is that his will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. So constantly do that, so that you can stand another day, one day at a time. And until chapter 11, this is Tony Alamo. God bless you and praise the Lord.